Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the phone is John Kostyak. John, you are the executive director of the National Whistleblower Center, which up until recently, John, I didn't even realize that was a thing. But then again, we didn't really talk much about whistleblowing, and now it seems to be everyone's favorite topic.
Well, good morning, Jason. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, so our organization's been around for 31 years, and whistleblowing has been around since the founding of this country.
Okay, now, I have a bunch of different things to start with here. The official Congress passed a Whistleblower Protection Act. That was in 89, which is what, is that 30 years ago now?
Yeah, actually, there's been a series of whistleblower acts. The big wave of whistleblower laws started in the 70s in response to what happened with the Nixon White House. And so, yeah, there's one important law that happened in 1989 for the intelligence community. Another really important law for the intelligence community was passed in 2004 after the Edward Snowden disclosures. So it's been a series of acts, and every single time Congress acts on this, it does it with a big bipartisan majority and always in the direction of strengthening whistleblower protections.
Except it doesn't seem like that's happening right now. It seems like depending on where you stand, if you, I think we can identify these people typically right now, is if you have a D next to your name or an R, you feel differently about whistleblowing than you did 3 months ago.
Well, I hope that's not going to happen. We were actually really gratified. Senator Grassley, the Republican from Iowa, who's the chairman of the bipartisan whistleblower caucus in the Senate, he came out and said this whistleblower needs to be protected.
Right.
So regardless of where you come down on impeachment or any of the big partisan issues of the day, we actually think the fundamental question is, do we want to hear about information of crimes from the people who actually have the information? That should remain outside of partisanship.
Let me ask you this, because I keep finding, depending on who I talk to, and I do my own research, as far as I can tell, I wanted a clarification from you. Is there anything in the law that says whistleblowers are entitled to their anonymity, or is that just a courtesy given to somebody who says, I'm going to step up and offer up information that I think you should know about?
Yeah, there's a couple of laws that are very explicit about the anonymity part. One is the Inspector General Act. The other is the Privacy Act. Both of them assure people their confidentiality if they want it. There have been some debates about whether or not that applies to the president himself.
Yeah.
But those laws do certainly apply to the rest of the federal government. And then there's some other law that was, alluding earlier to the 2004 whistleblower law. And that one is very explicit. 2014. That one is explicit about the president himself and the rest of the federal government not engaging in retaliation. And of course, right now, all these calls to out the whistleblowers are not coming in a vacuum. It's part of a larger intimidation campaign, and we would argue it violates the rules against retaliation.
Now, to anyone who says it's not, because I talk to a lot of people, trust me, this is one of the Rush Limbaugh radio stations. I just happened to found my way here like a stray dog who just showed up. And for the most part, like, I try to call things down the middle. There's a lot of people who say it's not about getting revenge. It's about making sure someone is accountable. If they're going to come out and make such claims, they should have to, you know, have their name attached to it, so we all know who's making these allegations.
Well, I've heard that quite a bit. And if this were a witness that were being put forward in a trial or even at the upcoming impeachment hearings, that would make more sense to me. What has happened since the complaint got filed is, one, a bunch of witnesses who have firsthand knowledge of what happened have become much more prominent. And so the leaders of the impeachment investigation have said, we don't need the whistleblowers anymore. They're not going to be witnesses in these proceedings. So the real question is, why do we need them to put themselves at risk and put their names out there if they're not going to be the witnesses that the investigators are relying upon? I have to say that if you have been involved in more traditional law enforcement over the years, you're aware of the concept of a grand jury, where a prosecutor brings in a bunch of witnesses just to gather evidence. And those witnesses are guaranteed confidentiality. They get to speak anonymously. The names have never come out. And that's what we're, that's the analogous situation we're in here. We, at the early stages of investigation, the only way to collect information is to promise people that they will be protected if they step forward.
And in this case, because you mentioned, you know, sometimes, I think your wording was, whistleblowers should remain anonymous unless they choose not to. Now, on your website, and you can bring up names if you choose to, there are some people who speak on your organization's behalf. Again, this is the executive director of the National Whistleblower Center talking to you. This is John Kosiak. There are whistleblowers who work with your organization who go out and speak, but their names are public. What is it about their cases versus this situation that's different?
Well, sometimes it's just simply unavoidable. And so, for example, we have a couple board members who were former FBI whistleblowers. And for them to effectively blow the whistle, they made the judgment that they needed to go public. So one exposed mismanagement of the crime lab. So Dr. Frederick Whitehurst is on our board. And it was sending innocent people to jail. And so for him to be effective, he had to go public. He ultimately prevailed, and the reforms of the crime lab happened, and he got a big settlement for all the abuse that he suffered. And very similarly, another board member of ours, Jane Turner, another FBI whistleblower, exposed the cover-up cases of child abuse that were not being prosecuted. And so, again, she felt it necessary to go public. She was retaliated against badly. She ultimately got a settlement to compensate her for all the damages she suffered. Those are classic cases where the whistleblowers themselves make the judgment to accomplish what I'm hoping to accomplish, to expose these misdeeds, I have to go public. In this, the Ukraine situation, it's not clear, it still is unclear to us, what would be the benefit of having to go public if the evidence that the impeachment committee puts forward is being delivered by witnesses who were firsthand on the scene, and the whistleblowers are actually not needed to make the case.
Here's a question. I was thinking about this a little bit over the weekend. I'm with you. It's the person who called 911, and then the police come up and they investigate and they find other evidence and other witnesses. They don't need to corroborate with that person. They might talk to him privately, but they don't need them to come forward and go, I am the 911 caller.
Right.
But what at this point, you said, sometimes it's just unavoidable. It feels like we're already at that stage. It's unavoidable. This is going to come out. So what protections or what can be done to either keep it, keep this person's identity under wraps, or do you have any advice? Like, what advice would you give the whistleblower to say, hey, your name's going to come out anyway. Here's some steps you can take because you're going to end up in the public spotlight.
So I think considering the death threats and other kinds of intimidation tactics that these whistleblowers are experiencing, if I were their attorney, I'd be doing exactly what their current attorneys are doing, which is recommending they not come forward and not assume that they're going to get exposed, because it's a very toxic situation out there, and it's a dangerous place for them to be, to have their names out there. So, of course, we know there's been lots of rumors circulating on the Internet about who these individuals might be. None of them have been verified. And so the first step, I guess, is continue your effort to keep your identity confidential. If it does get leaked, it all depends on who does the leaking, if it ever gets confirmed who they are. Some people actually can be legally sanctioned. Others, like the press, nobody's going to charge the press for releasing information. It is interesting to see that every journalistic entity across the political spectrum, with one exception, has chosen not to engage in speculation as to who these whistleblowers are. I think the journalist profession understands if you want sources to come forward, keep them confidential, or you give them confidentiality. And law enforcement has always backed up whistleblower laws. They love the fact that people can provide confidential tips.
We're talking to John Kosiak, the executive director of the National Whistleblower Center. He's been around for like 30 years, but what you said, whistleblower, these kind of laws have been around forever. Whistleblowing has been a big deal. This text has come in multiple times since we've been discussing this, and I'll just let you answer it. How can you say they're making death threats against someone who's anonymous? Because that comes up constantly.
Yeah, well, they are being delivered to their lawyers. And they say, we know who they are, we're coming after them, that kind of thing. If you read what the lawyers are putting out, they say the lawyers themselves are getting threats, and they are being told to relay the death threats to the whistleblowers. So obviously we don't know if the people making threats, you know, have any basis for knowing who they are. But the fact that there are threats of violence happening right now certainly is a, if you're on the fence as the whistleblower, whether it become public and put your name out there, I think it's a pretty strong signal that perhaps you just want to stay undercover and you exercise your legal rights to remain confidential.
What examples do you have and what has happened in the past with someone who tries to protect themselves under whistleblower laws and they bring up a claim and it gets investigated and they find out there's no evidence or the person was just lying? Because I'm sure someone somewhere has tried to use one of these laws to attack somebody, but there's been no corroborating evidence. What happens to someone who is a whistleblower or tries to use that protection and then is found out to be lying? Do they just get to walk off scot-free? Do they get, you know?
Well, if a whistleblower puts forward a false statement under oath, then they can be charged criminally. I think what is the, so, you know, I think in most cases it's up to the prosecutor to decide whether the information is useful. It's probably an everyday situation where a whistleblower comes forward, gives information to a prosecutor, and the prosecutor says, you know, there's not enough there. Maybe I'll chase down some of these leads and it leads to a dry hole. If that's the case, nobody gets hurt. Prosecutor gets an opportunity to look at the situation, and the case is closed. I think that's much more typical than somebody putting in a blatantly false statement. But you know, prosecutors want information from whatever source, whatever the motivation of the whistleblower is, and then the prosecutor has the ability to evaluate the credibility based upon all the other evidence that comes in.
What is your concern? This is John Kosiak. You're the executive director of the National Whistleblower Center. Obviously, you do stand on the side of keeping this whistleblower anonymous when dealing with the impeachment inquiry, the Ukraine. What is the worst that could happen? I mean, I guess you're going to say violence because we already kind of touched on that. But at this point, should he just step up and say, all right, you know, I'll testify to what I know. But is it that it's not going to be impressive? It's just going to be like, well, I heard that this happened and I'm glad they looked into it.
Yeah, I'm expecting the testimony. And by the way, the whistleblower has offered to provide written testimony, so their identity would not be revealed. I imagine it's going to closely resemble what we saw in the complaint that Congress released for all of us to see. And that was, you know, the two core allegation was the president asked the favor of the Ukrainian president, to investigate the Bidens and investigate this server that allegedly kept information about some alleged Ukrainian democratic conspiracy that's never been proven. So there's, you know, those are the things that were put in the complaint. Also that the conversation that President Trump had with the Ukrainian president was put in an unusually secure location that was not typical for these calls. Those are the sort of the fundamental facts that were in the complaint. And now we have four or five witnesses plus documents that validate that. And the Democrats on the House Intelligence Committee said they would rather use the direct witnesses and the direct documents and the whistleblowers in moving this case to the next stage. So these whistleblowers have served their purpose.
Has there ever been a situation where a whistleblower's complaint alone, without that person coming forward in any situation they know of, has led to someone just being fired?
No. That would never happen. If someone were to have a job action taken against them, they would have every right to understand who was making the allegation based on what information. And so, again, the most important thing to understand here is these whistleblowers are opening a process. When you take it to the next step and actually take action against someone, they get to evaluate the evidence that's being lodged against them.
Somebody just texted this, and it's actually kind of an interesting thought. With all this public outrage and demand, like, hey, we want the whistleblower's identity. We want them to publicly testify. And at this point, I just feel like in order to quell to squash the amount of anger from people on the right who are they want to hear this person speak. Could the FBI take this person in their custody and say, all right, yeah, you know, you're going to speak. We'll put you in protective custody. We'll look out for you in order just to get this out of the way and done with? Or does that still defeat the purpose of the whistleblower laws that are out there going forward?
Yeah, it really would. It would defeat the purpose. I mean, these individuals, by the way, there's two whistleblowers benefiting from the protection of the law right now, both using the same law firm. They are entitled to keep their jobs. I mean, one of the most common form of retaliation is to take somebody's job away from them. And so putting them into a witness protection program where basically they can't, you know, operate as they ever have before, basically change their identity, go into hiding essentially. I mean, that's a horrible outcome to put somebody through for doing nothing more than following the legal procedures that Congress created for them.
Is the danger in kind of disregarding a whistleblower, any whistleblower, especially if it's used for partisan reasons, which that's kind of how I take it right now. And I'm losing listeners by the second, by the way, so thank you. look, the way I look at it is there could be a situation 10 years down the road, 5 years, 10 years down the road, where you end up in a situation where something bad is happening on the other side, and you're going to want that anonymous protection. You want someone to step up and speak out on behalf of something they see wrong. If the new normal is, hey, you can speak up, but the world's going to know who you are, and the people who are detractors are going to come after you potentially, that's a dangerous place to be. It kind of eliminates this protection that does exist.
Jason, you're getting to the heart of our concern. This isn't just about this particular Ukraine controversy. This is about the future of whistleblowing in this country. And to us, whistleblowing is just like free speech, is at the core of our strategy for protecting our democracy and our rule of law. And so, you know, we have supported whistleblowers who've gone up against a Democratic administration. We helped Linda Tripp when she was fighting the Clinton administration over the unauthorized release of her records. We helped Dr. Frederick Whitehurst, who got a big settlement against the Clinton administration. So those who want to create an intimidating atmosphere and, you know, and call for whistleblowers' identities to be exposed need to realize that next time they want to expose a crime by somebody on the opposing party, they're not going to have the usual tools we've always had. It's the people who are on the inside who have the information about what's really going on. If we basically say, sorry, but we're going to hang you out to dry, if you step forward, they're just not going to step forward.
Yeah. So you have done bipartisan work.
That's the heart of our organization. We have we are here to serve whistleblowers no matter who is being accused of wrongdoing. And we have a long track record of supporting whistleblowers against both Democrats and Republicans.
Have you ever supported the public outing of a whistleblower in any case ever?
No. It okay. really has to be in the control of the whistleblower.
Okay. There's so many more questions I could ask you, but maybe we can have you on down the road. But I appreciate you taking the time this morning. And I know this interview has not made a lot of people happy, because there's a lot of people who just think this person's name needs to be out there. They need to, you know, speak as to who they're working for. They're an operative for this. But again, I look at it kind of from the same lens you do. It's like they spoke up. And other people have corroborated it. I don't know what the purpose is other than to use it as a political hit job. That's me. And again, if you listen carefully, you hear people turning off their radio, but it's a risk I take every day trying to speak. John Kostiak, the executive director of the National Whistleblower Center. I do appreciate your time and kind of laying some of these things out there. Maybe we can talk again in the future, okay?
Hey, I really appreciate the opportunity.
Hey, thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.